Gildan Media, a division of Recorded Books, presents Happiness: How to Get into the Habit of Being Happy by Gil Hassan. Narrated by Henrietta Meir. Introduction. Folks are usually about as happy as they make their minds up to be. Abraham Lincoln. We may all have different abilities, interests, and lifestyles, goals, values, beliefs, and expectations. But there's one thing that we all have in common. We want to be happy. How happy are you right now? How happy are you with your life in general as a whole? Would you like to be happier? How much happier? Of course, it's not really possible to measure happiness. There's no point system or way to measure the happiness flowing through your bloodstream. But we don't really need to be able to measure happiness in order to know whether we're happy or not. And it seems that so many of us aren't. Levels of anxiety, stress, loneliness, and depression appear to have escalated in recent years. The mental health charity Mind reports that in England, 1 in 6 people report experiencing a common mental health problem, such as anxiety or depression, in any given week. A survey of 2,330 people in the UK, carried out in 2014 by YouGov for the Mental Health Foundation, revealed that almost 1 in 5 people feel anxious nearly all of the time, or a lot of the time. A survey carried out in the UK in 2017 for the Joe Cox Commission on Loneliness showed that almost 3/4 of older people in the UK are lonely. But anyone who is socially isolated as a result of, for example, the loss of family and friends, unemployment, a disability, illness, or caring for others, can also experience the unhappiness that comes with feelings of loneliness. Even if you aren't lonely or experiencing a mental health problem, even if your life is okay, it seems that the pressure to be happy and successful is greater than ever before. These days, it's not just having money, a great job, a nice home, a good relationship, and lots of friends that defines a successful life, but how happy you are and how often you're happy. For many of us, it's become important to appear super happy all the time, to share happy news, post happy photos, tweet happy tweets. Due to social media's obsession with joy, it can seem like everyone else is achieving nirvana levels of happiness and bliss. In fact, a 2017 poll by the charity Girl Guiding of girls and young women aged 11 to 21 found that 1 in 3 feel under pressure to present themselves as having a perfect life on social media. It's easy to feel bad about ourselves for not being happy, and that just makes us feel worse. How come life is so rosy for other people? Maybe you think happiness is a matter of luck. It's not. Happiness is not a matter of coincidence or good luck. Neither, as Chapter 1 explains, is happiness a matter of living a blameless life or being in the right place at the right time. Happiness isn't given to you. You can't expect someone else to make you happy. You can't wait for the stars to align before you can be happy. And you can't just be happy. Quite simply, happiness is a matter of following your human instinct to find purpose and meaning, to manage the challenges that come with finding purpose and meaning, and to enjoy the small pleasures in life. This book, Happiness, will tell you how to do that. You will learn that happiness doesn't happen by chance. It's a result of the thought, time, and effort you put into pursuing and maintaining happiness. Happiness comes from identifying what's important in your life, in the different areas of your life, your work, your relationships, your hobbies and interests, your health, and so on, and having aims and purpose in those areas. Chapter 2 explains how you can identify and work towards what will make you happy, not what you think will make you happy, or what other people think will make you happy. Being happy, living according to your values, having goals, doing what is important to you and has meaning for you, not only involves making an effort and persevering, taking some risks and making sacrifices, it also means stepping out of your comfort zone. There will always be challenges and difficulties involved in pursuing happiness. But if you don't push yourself, nothing will change, and you won't be happier. Chapter 3 explains how each time you extend your comfort zone, you extend your happiness. However, it could be that there's something you need to stop doing, something you need to let go of before you can commit and pursue the things or thing that would make you happy. Chapter 3 also has plenty of encouragement and advice on how to let go of unhappy situations and circumstances, so you can move on to happier times. Chapter 4 discusses the little things in life that can make you happy. Whatever your circumstances, whatever your abilities, however much money you do or don't have, there's a world of small pleasures which can bring you moments of happiness every day. Often these small pleasures can be the things you do with other people. Chapter 4 explains how almost anything we do to improve our connections with others tends to improve our happiness as well. However, there will be times in all our lives when there are very real challenges to be happy. Times when you're stuck in a situation, a job you dislike, for example, and you can see no way out. There are, though, things you can do to make the best out of a bad job. Chapter 5 explains what those things are. How can you find any happiness when you've suffered or are suffering a serious difficulty? No doubt the last thing you can imagine is being happy. Chapter 5 discusses how you can find hope and therefore some happiness when life is really tough. Having learnt how to find purpose and meaning in your life and about the importance of identifying and indulging in small pleasures, connecting with other people, and knowing how to find some degree of happiness during difficult periods of your life, Chapter 6 looks at how you can help other people be happy. When someone you love and care about is unhappy, you feel it too. But whether you just want them to be happy so you can be happy, or you believe that you have the solutions to their problems, you cannot make it your mission to fix them and make them happy. You can, though, be supportive. Chapter 6 explains how. Why be happy? Finally, just in case you need some encouragement to make the effort to pursue happiness, you might find it helpful to know what some of the benefits of happiness are. When you're living a happy life, you feel engaged with the world around you, have aims and goals that you can work towards and achieve, have good levels of confidence and positive self-esteem, build and maintain good relationships with others, more easily cope with the stresses of daily life, are more positive, more solution-focused, manage better during difficult and challenging times in your life, help those around you to be happy. With this book, Happiness, you will learn how to make happiness a habit. You will discover how to live a good life, a life that, despite its inevitable ups and downs, is both meaningful and pleasurable. A happy life. 1. What happiness is. Happiness is not something you postpone for the future. It is something you design for the present. Jim Rohn. We all think of happiness as something positive, something good that we want to feel and to be. But is it realistic to think we can be happy all the time? To answer this, it helps to understand that happiness happens in two ways. First, as a long-term, general sense of well-being, and second, as a short-lived pleasure. As a short-lived pleasure, happiness is a result of something that pleases us in some way. A funny joke, an uplifting film, a delicious meal, a good night out, a great holiday, and causes us to feel emotions such as contentment, satisfaction and enjoyment, delight or joy. As a short-lived pleasure, this form of happiness is temporary. It's a passing happiness. Although short-lived pleasures do contribute towards happiness, we simply can't feel like this all the time. It's not realistic to think that we can. But happiness is not only experienced as short-lived pleasure. We also experience happiness as a general sense of well-being. It's this sort of happiness, a general, stable sense of well-being, feeling fulfilled and feeling that life is good, that we can more realistically expect to experience, if not all the time, then most of the time. A short history of happiness. Although it might seem that everyone is in the pursuit of happiness nowadays, this is, in fact, nothing new. Over 2,000 years ago, in his work Nicomachean Ethics, the Greek philosopher Aristotle explored the nature of the good life. He concluded that happiness, well-being, is a central purpose of human life. It's what we're all aiming for. He identified the two types of happiness as hedonic happiness and eudaimonic happiness. Hedonic happiness is the small pleasures, and eudaimonic happiness refers to a sense of meaning, purpose, and fulfillment. Aristotle suggested that because, as human beings, we have a unique ability to reason, to use logic and good sense, to make judgments and come to conclusions, we should, indeed we must, use this ability to work out for ourselves ways to live our lives so that whatever else happens in life, we have a general, stable sense of well-being, feel fulfilled, and feel that, overall, life is good. Aristotle acknowledged that happiness can be affected by such things as our health and wealth, friends, family, the work we do, where we live, etc. And yet, he said, by using our ability to think and reason, we are able to create a life for ourselves that enables us to bear the ups and downs of our existence with balance and perspective and maintain a general sense of well-being. Fast forward 2,000 years, and like Aristotle, today's psychologists and researchers are also interested in what makes for happiness and a good life. In his 2011 book, Flourish, positive psychology professor Martin Seligman also suggests that in order to be happy, we need to have one or more things in our life to aim for, things that mean something and make sense to us, that interest and absorb us, that we want to be involved in and allow us to feel good when we achieve what we set out to do. He says that as social beings, we need to interact with others, to connect and feel that we belong. Seligman acknowledges that we need to experience short-lived pleasures in order to experience positive emotions such as contentment and enjoyment, inspiration, hope and joy, etc. But he recognizes that although short-lived pleasures contribute to happiness, they are not the basis of happiness. Of course, what's meaningful, engaging, and gives a sense of purpose is different for everyone, as is what makes for positive relationships and provides for positive emotions. But that's where the cognitive abilities that Aristotle referred to come in. We each need to work out for ourselves what makes for meaning and purpose, positive relationships, and small pleasures. Aristotle and Seligman both agree that happiness requires thought and effort. This is a good thing. It means that the ability to be happy is within your power. You have the power to make yourself happy. You can discover for yourself what will bring sense and meaning to your life, what will engage and absorb you. You can identify what brings you pleasure, what the small things are in life that give you moments of happiness. Rather than waiting to be happy, you can learn to be happy. You can make happiness a habit, your natural, normal way of being. Unhelpful beliefs. However, even if you can see that happiness is within your power, you may have beliefs and assumptions that have led you to conclude that happiness isn't possible for you. In Chapter 3, we'll look at some of the obstacles that get in the way of being happy. We'll identify the potential problems, difficulties, and challenges, and you'll hear how to manage them. But first, let's look at some common, unhelpful beliefs about happiness. I don't believe I deserve to be happy. Maybe you feel you don't deserve happiness. You don't deserve to be happy because of something you did wrong in the past. You made the wrong decision to do or not do something. You blame yourself. You feel a sense of loss and sorrow and wish you could undo a choice that you made. Maybe you regret something you did or didn't do. Perhaps you did something that harmed or hurt someone else, and now you feel guilty. You feel regret and remorse. You believe it would be wrong to try and be happy. If that's the case, you need to know that regret, remorse, and guilt actually have a positive intent. Rather than keeping you stuck, the positive purpose of these negative emotions is to prompt you to make up for your wrongdoing, to learn from your mistake, and to behave differently in the future. Happy people learn from their mistakes and move on. You can do the same. Stop berating yourself for what you did wrong. Acknowledge and accept that what's done is done and can't be changed. There's nothing you can do about it. But what you can do is change what you do next. It could be, though, that you haven't even done anything wrong, but you believe that you have. Perhaps you feel guilty that you can't alleviate someone's suffering, or that you didn't do enough to help someone. Perhaps you feel guilty that you survived something that other people did not. If that's the case, then you're experiencing imagined guilt. Imagined guilt happens when you feel guilty about events that, in fact, you were not or are not responsible for. Maybe, for example, you feel that you can't appear to be happy while other people in your life are unhappy. Your brother is unable to find a job, or your partner is depressed. Your sister is unable to conceive. A good friend's child died, or you received a promotion at the same time another friend was made redundant. But feeling undeserving doesn't help anyone. You haven't done anything wrong by being happy and showing that you're happy. If you're concerned about other people's situations, know that aiming for happiness is the right thing to do, because then you're in a better position to help others to be happy. You can learn more about how to help others be happy in Chapter 6. I don't believe I can forgive. Perhaps, though, it's not that you feel you've done something wrong. It's that something else has done you wrong, and you can't move past that. Perhaps a friend has betrayed you, or your partner has had an affair. You've been unfairly sacked, or you've suffered an injury as a result of someone else's actions. You don't believe you can be happy, because you just can't forgive. But forgiving doesn't mean giving in, minimizing, excusing, or forgetting the offense. The other person is still responsible for their actions. They may not deserve to be forgiven for your pain, sadness, and suffering, but you deserve to be free of this negativity. Forgiveness is for you, not the other person. Forgiveness means letting go of the resentment, frustration, or anger that you feel as a result of someone else's actions. It involves no longer wanting punishment, revenge, or compensation. Acknowledge and accept that what's done is done and can't be changed. But what you can change is what you do next. Of course, forgiveness is not a switch you can flip and then immediately forget what the other person did. But even if you don't have the will to forgive right now, you can still learn to live with the fact of the other person's wrongdoing as you work towards happiness. Life becomes easier when you learn to accept an apology you never got. Robert Brault. I don't believe I can be as happy as I once was. Maybe, though, it's not your own or someone else's wrongdoing in the past that holds you back from striving for happiness. Do you look back on other times and circumstances in your life and feel that everything was so much better then? Were you happier? There's nothing wrong with reminiscing, looking back on happy times in your life. But dwelling on those times can keep you stuck and deceive you into thinking you will never be that happy again. You need to keep things in perspective. It's easy to idealize the past, to minimize, forget, or deliberately ignore difficulties that may also have occurred during the happier times. If you were able to recreate the same circumstances and situations when you were happier, it wouldn't be the same. Whether the past really was that good, or whether you've idealized it, dwelling on the past takes you away from making the most of the opportunities of the present. As someone once said, you can't start the next chapter of your life if you keep rereading your last one. I don't believe I can be as happy as other people. It could be that you believe that happiness is for other people. You compare yourself with them, see that they're happy, and believe that your life can never be the same as theirs. You're right. It can't. Your life can't be the same as theirs. You are too unique to compare yourself fairly. Your skills, abilities, contributions, and value are entirely unique to you and your purpose in this world. They can never be fairly compared to anyone else. There will always be someone else you know, you hear about, or read about in magazines and on social media to compare yourself to. There's always someone you can perceive as having more or doing better than you, and therefore being happier than you. But measuring your worth, your abilities, opportunities, your career progress, etc., against other people's, can only lead to you feeling inferior. It's a surefire recipe for unhappiness. If you want to be happy, you need to let go of comparing yourself to others. Jealousy and envy are incompatible with happiness. So if you're constantly comparing yourself to others, it's time to stop. Instead, be inspired by others, and with the help of this book, start planning how you can work towards what you want. This will make you more positive and in control, since you are no longer looking at what the other person has that you haven't. You'll be too busy working towards what you want. You won't have the time or a reason to be envious. I don't believe I can be happy until something changes in my life. Are you waiting for something to happen before you can be happy? Do you believe that you'll only be happy once your perfect partner comes along, or the perfect job or new home materializes? Maybe you're waiting for a relationship to end, the neighbors to move, or someone to die. Perhaps you're waiting to have a baby, or for the children to leave home. Or it could be that you believe you can only be happy once you're healthier, you've lost weight or got fitter. It's easy to believe that happiness is something you'll achieve once all the stars have aligned and something else in your life is finally in place. But this is just a story you've been telling yourself. Happiness is not circumstantial, and that's actually good news. You don't have to wait for everything to be perfect. Instead, you can learn to be happy while you're waiting for that big lottery win, the perfect partner, the perfect job, or whatever it is you're hoping for. When it comes to happiness, the journey is just as important as the destination. The journey is an inherent part of happiness. In a nutshell, happiness happens in two ways. First, as a long-term, general sense of well-being, eudaimonic happiness, and second, as a short-lived pleasure, hedonic happiness. Aristotle suggests that, using our ability to think and reason, we can, indeed we must, each work out for ourselves what makes for meaning, purpose, and small pleasures in our lives. The fact that happiness requires you to give it your thought and effort is a good thing. It means that the ability to be happy is within your power. You have the power to make yourself happy. Rather than waiting to be happy, you can learn to be happy. You can make happiness a habit, your natural, normal way of being. However, you may have beliefs and assumptions that have led you to conclude that happiness isn't possible for you. Maybe you feel you don't deserve to be happy because of something you did wrong in the past. What's done is done, and whatever you did wrong can't be changed. But what you can change is what you do next. If you're experiencing imagined guilt, you feel guilty for events that actually you were not responsible for. And if you're concerned about other people's situations, know that being happy is the right thing to be, because then you're in a better position to help others be happy. Even if you don't have the will to forgive someone's wrongdoing towards you right now, you can still learn to live with the fact of the other person's wrongdoing as you work towards happiness. If you don't believe you can be as happy as you once were, know that whether the past really was that good, or whether you've idealized it, dwelling on it takes you away from making the most of the opportunities of the present. Jealousy and envy are incompatible with happiness. Instead of comparing your situation and yourself with others, be inspired by them. Start planning how you can work towards what you want, and be happy. You don't have to wait for something in your life to be in place, for the stars to have aligned and everything to be perfect, before you can start being happy. Instead, you can learn to be happy while you're waiting for whatever it is you're hoping for. 2. How to be happy. Find purpose and meaning. Know what's important to you. Know your values. Your values become your destiny. Mahatma Gandhi. To be happy, then, you need meaning and purpose in your life. But how do you find meaning and purpose? In order to stand any chance of finding meaning and purpose, we need to first understand what's important to us. We need to start with our values. We all have values, and we each have different values. Maybe you've not given much thought to what your values are, but that doesn't mean you don't have them. Quite simply, your values are those things that are important to you and give weight to the way that you live, work, and relate to other people. What have your values got to do with being happy? In different areas of your life, when what you do and how you live matches your values, things will just feel right. What you do and how you live will feel compatible with what's important to you. And that will help you to be happy. As we grow up, we learn values, morals, and rules for the right and wrong way to be and behave from our parents, family, and friends, our school, community, and culture. It's likely that the values you internalized as a child will have remained with you through adulthood. Core values such as truth and honesty, kindness and fairness, are, of course, always admirable and worthwhile. However, other values that you may have been brought up with, ambition and achievement, success, excellence and perfection, may not have proved important to you. Maybe the values of spontaneity and adventure, risk and courage, were more appealing. Or it could be that you were brought up in a family or culture where the values of self-discipline, self-reliance, persistence, duty, and respect were paramount. Although you haven't totally rejected those values, your priorities are more in line with the values of empathy, belonging, care, and kindness. Or perhaps creativity, the pursuit of beauty, harmony, and peace are more important to you. What core values were you raised with? What did your parents value? And what values did they impress upon you? What values were reflected in the way you were rewarded or disciplined? Are your current values the same as those you grew up with? Have you consciously dropped some values from your upbringing and adopted different ones? Usually, adolescence is a time when, in your efforts to forge your own individual identity, who you are, and your social identity, how you fit in with others, you question and reject some or even all of the values you were brought up with, and establish your own. But maybe you've never questioned the values you were brought up with. You've simply accepted them and created your life around those values. That's all well and good if you're happy. But if you're living your life or parts of your life according to values that you don't really believe in, you may well feel conflicted, out of balance, and unhappy. It's not just the values your parents impressed upon you that have an impact. The values of your culture and society have a strong influence too. The pursuit of wealth and material goods, academic qualifications, status and power, winning, being popular and attractive, have become dominant values in much of Western society. Too often, too many of us subscribe to these values in the mistaken belief that they are the only route to happiness and success. You don't have to make your life look like anybody else says it should look. D. Rees. Mike Lewis is the author of a book called When to Jump. In the book, he describes how, at the age of 23, he landed his dream job at Bain, a venture capital investment firm. The job was interesting. He had a good boss and got on with his colleagues. Mike had taken the job at Bain because of a genuine, enthusiastic interest in the work. His parents were right behind him. But, he writes, I had somehow got it into my head that I was supposed to stick to a certain path, and the job at Bain fitted into that kind of path, from college to internship to well-paying corporate job. At Bain, I was on the right path, surrounded by smart people, doing interesting work, and enjoying well-paid vacations. What else could I want? Yet deep down, as time went by, I began to realize that I wanted this life mostly because I thought I should. And all the while, tucked some...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?